Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So here we have a bunch of the disciples sitting down together at breakfast, of all things. Now, in general, I have noticed there are, well, two types of people. Maybe you've noticed. Morning people and non-morning people. I'm a morning person. I wake up and I don't need anything to get my engine running. Most of my life, I've been a non-eating breakfast person. But now that I've gotten a little bit older and old age is creeping in, I have to take medicine that necessitates food intake. But I don't want my stomach to slow me down in the morning. Now, many people just simply aren't morning people. And morning people like me drive those people nuts. The reality that so many aren't wide awake in the morning is evident in the fact that breakfast is our most ritualized meal of the day. Think about that for a moment. It's not uncommon for folks to eat the same thing day after day after day, when they wouldn't dream of doing such a thing for the noon or evening meal. Those who do eat breakfast often have exactly the same food, or close to it, or at least have a limited selection on their menu for breakfast. I guess day in and day out breakfast is not a meal where we reach out for culinary innovation. Oh, we may slip in some special things on weekends, Mickey Mouse pancakes, but when we get up and get going, get to our appointments on time, it's hard enough at the beginning of the day to just get moving. We don't want experimentation for breakfast during our work week. That's when Jesus came to them. At the break of a busy, appointment-filled day. And I find that fascinating. So as Jesus sits there with them at the beach, sharing and reconnecting, they're all sitting around, they're all eating their McFish sandwiches, and it's a new day for the disciples, figuratively and literally. Their eyes are suddenly open again, and they see Jesus again. They experience the risen one before them in a new way. And then he turns to them. Now, these are the same disciples who left him when the going got rough, leaving him on the cross, to the same disciples who failed to recognize the resurrected Jesus, even when he spoke to them directly, to this ragtag group. He commands them, feed my sheep. He tells them, if they love him, the way to love him is to care for those for whom he cares. Follow me, he says. Now, from this story, I think we can derive a few truths about Easter, a few truths about life after Easter. First, and it does pain me just a bit to admit this, since I'm a pastor and I do a lot of my work for you on Sunday. But if you're met by the risen Christ, do I dare say it? If you're met by the risen Christ, it may not be on Sunday. And it may not be in church. It could easily be on Monday or Tuesday or the next day or the next, when your day is full of appointments and you're in the market and you're still half awake or cruising down the street in your golf cart. The risen Christ is free and moving. The risen Christ does not intend to be remained boxed in one day a week for an hour at church. The risen Christ doesn't recognize the separation that we tend to make between secular and religious. The risen Christ intrudes, comes to us where we are, speaks to us, reveals God to us where we are. Second, we can't or nor do we need to sustain Easter joy and Easter belief. Don't sit here, close your eyes, and try to pray hard enough to force joy into your hearts. Just go about being you. Go about your business, catching fish or whatever you do, and I'll bet the risen Christ will find you. We believe not because we're particularly adept at the matters of the Spirit. We believe because the risen Christ has come to us. Third, when the risen Christ comes to us at breakfast, on a Monday, or whenever, and graciously reveals God to us, we are also called. Don't miss that part. We are called. Now, in the lectionary lesson from Acts, it wasn't read, but Saul is an enemy of the church, and he gets knocked down on the Damascus road and spoken to by the risen Christ. But what does the risen Christ say to him? Not, Saul, do you really believe that Easter is true? Rather, he says, Paul, that's what I'm going to call you now. I've got some work for you to do. You're going to be a great missionary. You see, that's the way it is with Jesus. Have you noticed that every conversation with God involves a call for us to help others? Every conversation is a call to help, to work, to share. We get a revelation, and it's a call to help. The risen Christ doesn't just say to them between bites of his Egg McMuffin and sips of his Starbucks latte, sitting there on that beach, hey, you know, I'm Jesus, I'm raised from the dead. He says, I'm Jesus, I've got work for you to do. He tells them, feed my sheep. He tells them to care for the ones for whom he cares, which, when you think about it, is rather amazing, but also pretty typical of Jesus. To the very ones who had earlier forsaken him, to the ones who were nowhere to be found when he was arrested and crucified, he gave a call to discipleship. Their past failure at fidelity did not stop him from continuing to entrust to them this most important work. Our past failures or weaknesses don't stop Jesus from continuing to entrust to us this most important work. What work is the risen Christ calling you and I to do? When he says, feed my sheep, what do you think that means for us? I'm going to invite you to talk about that this week sometime. What does it mean when he calls, feed my sheep? What does it say about civil rights and our justice system? Talk about that with someone this week. What does it say about equal opportunities? Talk about that with someone this week. What does it say about our priorities as a nation, state, and community regarding asylum seekers? Talk about that this week. What does it mean for you as an individual and for us as a community as we explore our three great loves, creation, children, and neighbors? Talk about that this week. What does follow me mean? Talk about that. Then go do it. I'm not going to define it for you. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it tomorrow at breakfast and the next day and the next. Think about it between bites of cornflakes and that sip of orange juice. Think about it because that's where the risen Christ is going to come to us, seek us, and reveal God to us And here's the kicker. And then give us a job to do. Follow me. Those are the last words to the disciples. They are the first and last words to us as well. Follow me. Thanks be to God.